You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
We're going to be in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. The title of today's message is God's Rescue Plan. There's a story told of on a plane. There was a Boy Scout, a pilot, and a computer whiz, a minister. And the plane began having trouble and began nosediving and was going to crash. So the pilot came out to the back, and the problem was there was 3 parachutes and 4 people. The pilot grabbed one of the parachutes and said, "Look, guys, I have a wife, 4 kids, I've got to go." He grabbed the parachute and jumped. And the computer whiz, he said, "Look, I've got too much knowledge for the 21st century. I can't let that information die alone with me today." So he grabbed a parachute and jumped. And then the minister looked at the little Boy Scout and said, "Look, son, I've lived a long, happy life. You take the last parachute and I'll go down with the plane." And the Boy Scout told the minister, "Mr. Minister, you don't have to worry about that. The brilliant computer whiz grabbed my backpack instead." We all need a healthy dose of humility, or we end up falling on our face. God's rescue plan for mankind involved the humbling of Christ. His plan changed history, but it didn't just change history, it changed us. It changed you. It changed me. It's not just that Christ is the Savior. He's my Savior. This rescue plan changed me. Many Americans like Jesus. They like baby Jesus in particularly. They like Jesus. They're okay with Jesus and this concept of Jesus as a teacher. They're okay with that. But many Americans don't love Jesus. In the Bible, you see no moderate reactions to Jesus. You see people wanting to kill Jesus, demons running from Jesus. You see those who love and are devoted to Jesus Christ and offer their entire lives, but you see no moderate reactions to Jesus. I'd encourage you today, you and I, should have no moderate reaction to Jesus. Love Him with all of our hearts or turn from Him. Those are the options that the Bible gives us. But today, I want us to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ as we look at the great plan of salvation. So look with me in Philippians chapter 2, this great passage about who Jesus Christ is and why He came. Look at verse 5 of chapter 2. "Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, Amen. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father." Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank You for today. Lord, the music was wonderful. The time of celebration is here, Lord, but it's only wonderful because you're wonderful, that you are Savior worthy of celebrating. And so, God, thank you for this season and this service where we get to say thank you. We get to adore you. And we get to celebrate. Lord, I'm reminded today, thinking about you and your magnitude, Lord, how little I am, how in my own ability I have nothing to say to these people. So, Lord, I ask that your word would speak. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would begin working in the hearts of individuals in this building. That you would call them to obedience. We love you, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In God's great salvation plan, we see the first thing, and point number one is the cradle. See this in verses 5 through 7. See, God's rescue mission for mankind always involved Jesus' birth. Look at verse 5. It says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So this mind means attitude. And this attitude, which is supposed to influence our actions, and says that as brothers and sisters in Christ, let us have the same mind and attitude and heart and ultimately actions of Christ Jesus. Look at verse 6. It says, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So although completely equal with God, Jesus willingly humbled himself, became a man. It's important to understand, brothers and sisters, that Jesus Christ is not a demigod. He's not a like God in a lot of ways. Jesus is as much God. The Father is God. Jesus Christ is God. And so we, not being equal with God, try to be so. And Jesus, equal with God, did not try to hold on to that. Look at verse 7. But Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. Here is some important theological truth, and I want you guys to hang on to this. See, God, Jesus, limited himself, but he never lessened himself. Are you with me, church? Jesus Christ limited himself, but he never lessened himself. Jesus Christ was as much God when he was on earth as he's always been God, and as much as he is today. But Jesus limited himself when he was on earth. He emptied himself of certain attributes. He limited those attributes while he was here on earth. Just like a father playing with his kids. All fathers, we like wrestling with our kids. I don't know, it's just born in us, right? And so we like to wrestle with them, but with almost without exception, fathers are always stronger than their children, at least for a while. And they get bigger than you and can beat you up, and you have to be nicer to them. But in the meantime, you can wrestle with them, but you never give them your full strength. You're never putting them in a full Nelson, and you're just no. You wrestle with them and you toss them around, but carefully, right, and gently, because you love them. So you're limiting yourself. You're not lessening yourself. You're just as much a father as and you have just as much strength, but you have limited yourself. Or when a bride comes down the altar with her beauty veil for a short while, and she comes down, and then they take off the veil, and she was just as beautiful before she took off the veil, but the veil had hindered that beauty for a while. It's a similar concept in Scripture, is that Jesus veiled himself to humanity. Obviously, he gave up his all of his strength where he could do anything at all time. He gave up his ability to be at all places, taking on the form of a person. So Jesus limited himself, but he never lessened himself. Are you with me, church?
Yeah.
These are important, some of the most important theological truths you'll learn about Jesus Christ, and the most important theological truths you'll learn about anything is in this passage of Scripture. The Creator chose to serve His creatures. And He came, the Bible says, in the likeness of men. Look at verse 7. It said, but emptied Himself by taking on the form of a servant and being in the likeness of men. See, the likeness of men. See, Bethlehem means permanent union with humanity. That Jesus Christ was not in the form of a human before He came to earth. But Jesus Christ knew when He came to earth, He would be permanently in human form. Now we know in heaven that that He has a glorified body, and that we'll have glorified bodies without pain anymore. Amen. Anybody got up this morning with a little bit of pain? You don't have to worry about that in heaven. But so Jesus, we know that He had a glorified body, but He has stayed a human. This is the testimony of Scripture. 100% God, 100% man. So to the likeness of men. Was till death do us part. Now we sign up for in heaven, we say, hey man, when we get married, we say, until we die, we're together. But Jesus went a step further than that. He said, even past my death, I will stay human. The likeness of men. Jesus came as an ordinary person. The way I can see it, if Jesus Christ passed you on the street, you wouldn't turn around. He didn't have a glowing halo. He wasn't having a cute little blue sash and flowing feathered hair. No, He was just a normal person, and you wouldn't have even looked at Him a second time. That's how normal Jesus was. He came in the likeness of men. We see the humbling of Jesus. Step one in this humbling process is Jesus. He became a human. This is not a big deal for us because we're all humans surrounded by other humans. We've known no other people. But God become human of any form is a humbling process. But the Bible said He didn't just come as any human. He came in the form of a servant. He humbles Himself again. So not only did He take on the human form, He came in a small town of Bethlehem, was reared in the small town of Nazareth, and came in the form of a servant. The Creator serving His creatures. We see this beautiful humbling of Christ. See, because Jesus became human, He understands betrayal, loneliness, weakness, pain, and death. And we can go to the Bible says that we don't have a high priest that can't sympathize with us. That he's battled the temptations that we've battled, and He's overcome them. Because He came, and He became human. But because Jesus Christ really is God living in you, He can change you. He can empower you. He can give you hope and joy. Amen? He's just not a buddy that walks alongside you that can help you out. I like buddies. They've helped me out a lot of my life. You've had those buddies. But a buddy can't change me. A buddy can't fix me. But Jesus Christ, being fully God and fully man, knows what we struggle and then has the ability and the empowerment to change us. See, God's plan always, always included prayer. To humble Himself. Become human land just like us. And in verse 8, we see part of God's plan was always the cross. Look at verse 8. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. God's rescue mission for humankind, for mankind, for humans, always involved the death of Jesus. He was born to die. This wasn't like, hey, I tried out some of the other ways and they're not going to work out, so I got stuck with this one. No. God said from the beginning of time, Jesus Christ would be born to die. He humbled Himself not. So Jesus Christ, so you're following this downward ascent we see in this passage, because then it goes up at the end in a glorious way. So Jesus Christ became man, and then he became a servant, right? And so then the Bible says that he would die. He would die a horrible, murderous death, because he was going to die like a criminal. Person who knew absolutely no sin, who never gave into it one time, he would die like a person who had. This is the humbling we see of Jesus Christ in this passage. The Bible says that he was obedient to the point of death. Jesus had no qualifiers on his obedience. You ever put qualifiers on your obedience? You ever say, God, I'll do some of that, but I won't do all of it. I'll go there, but I won't go here. I won't have that conversation. I won't give this. I won't give that up. I won't act this way. That's us putting qualifiers on our obedience. Jesus, to the point of death, was obedient to God. I read a story about a missionary who saw signs in one of the countries he was serving at. And the sign that this merchant's place was selling, the sign said, cheap crosses. And the missionary thought, you know what? That's what a lot of Christians are looking for. It's cheap crosses, where I get all the goodness of salvation and God doesn't require anything from me. Cheap crosses. Dr. J.H. Jowett said, ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. The question that we must ask ourselves is, what do you require of me, Lord? You gave all, so I must give all. What do you require of me this coming year? How do you want to use my business, my lifestyle, my body, my family, my home, my tools, my car? God, how do you want me to use those things? I know you want me to. You require everything. So show me how to serve. I know you gave all, so I must give all. See, God's rescue plan always included the cradle. It always included the cross. But God's rescue plan always included the crown. Look at verses 9 through 11. It says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So that the name, at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. The exaltation of Christ, the lifting up of Christ after the humbling of Christ, was always God's plan. Verse 9 said, he has highly exalted him. See, because of humility, he was exalted. Are you with me, church? Are you with me? Okay, so all this humbling process, dying, becoming like a man, becoming like a criminal, it was all done for the exaltation of Jesus Christ. See, God does not leave his children in shame, particularly God's Son. And so he allowed Jesus Christ to be humbled, not just for Christ's sake, but for our sake. But then Jesus Christ is exalted. Not just then, but for all eternity, Jesus Christ is Lord exalted. The Bible says that he is the name that is above every name, that he is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just our Savior, that he is the Lord of our lives. That means the boss, the one who rules us, the one who makes decisions over our hearts and our affections. This is the role of the Lord Jesus Christ. That every knee should bow, that every tongue should confess. That means angels and demons and believers and unbelievers and Satan himself will one day bow down to the magnificence of who Jesus Christ is. And you'll bow without exception in this room, all will bow. But you'll bow by force, or you'll bow by faith. You'll bow because you love Jesus Christ. That we have humbled ourselves because of who Jesus Christ is. And we love Him. Or you'll bow because Christ, who was the baby lying in a manger, the lamb that would be sacrificed for our sins, has become the Lion of Judah and rules the nations. And so all will bow under His might, without exception. See, we want to go up. We always want to go up. I have to do what I have to do. I have to do what makes me happy. I have to find myself. Those are all words of saying, I want to exalt myself. And the Scripture says something completely different. The Bible says, those who exalt themselves, be careful. Those who have lifted themselves high. Because when you have exalted yourself, be careful lest you fall. The person who sees Jesus Christ for who He is humbles himself. Because the person who is low cannot fall. You understand, brothers and sisters? And then in His own time, the Bible said, when you have humbled yourself, then Jesus Christ will exalt you. And not exalt you for your own sake, but so that you can exalt the name that is above every name. So the Bible says, the way up is down. That the unrighteous can become righteous. That the people with no power become powerful. The ones who are weak become strong. And that to live, you must die. This is the gospel of the kingdom. The cradle, the cross, and the crown. Famous preacher R.G. Lee said, there never was anyone who was a human child and a divine son, wounded by Satan, yet crushed his head, savior of men, but was killed by men, who is the judge of all, but was treated as a felon, who died, but lived again, who saved others, but not himself, had no sin, but became sin, was the King of glory, but wore a crown of thorns. Was a baby, but was older than his mother. Was a victor of a Roman cross, but was a victor of a Jewish grave. He was poured all the seas, but he said, I thirst. We speak today of the righteous, risen, reigning Christ. God's rescue plan for mankind has always been the humbling the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Jesus. So can I encourage you, brothers and sisters, let's celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ for God's great plan of salvation. You get an entire month to set aside time and exalt the name of Jesus Christ. And as we move into this invitation time today, I want to encourage you to spend time lifting up the name of Jesus. Lifting up the grace that He has given, the forgiveness that He offers, the mercy that He has shown you, the humility that He demonstrated and wants us to live by. Can you spend a couple moments reflecting on it? Celebrating a Savior who is worthy of celebration. could ask you, friend, do you know the Savior? Do you love the Savior? In the holidays, we have a lot of people in church and out of church. Sometimes I don't recognize. I want to make sure you know this, friend. It doesn't matter about what your past is. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus Christ came. He humbled himself. He died on a cross in your place and for your sin that you stand guilty of. God exalted him. He rose from the dead, conquering death and conquering sin. And you can become a Christian not by going to church, not by giving money, having a time in your life, and you say, Lord, I realize I cannot save myself. I turn from my sins and I trust you are the only way that can make me right with God. Forgive me of my sins. I trust you as my Savior. I want you to be in charge of my life. That's what it means to become a Christian. If you've never done that today, I certainly believe in this room that that's a real possibility. When we pray and we start singing, I want you to come forward. I want you to say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus, but I want to trust him today. I want to become a Christian. You don't have to come by yourself. Bring a friend with you. There's no better day than this day to trust Christ. For believers, you know him. Love him. Celebrate him. Worship him, not just in this service, but in your lives. Every aspect. Let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for this rescue plan. It was not asked for, it was not looked for, but you sent it anyway. Well, I thank you that through Jesus Christ we can be made right with God. And there's no other way. Lord, I thank you for humbling yourself and saving me. Those who have called on your name, who have already bowed their hearts and bowed their knees, well, that we worship you today. We have not forgotten what Christmas is about. You invaded our hearts and our lives. So, Lord, we love you and we celebrate you today. We love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.